Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
Wow, welcome. Finally, it's not hateful hot, and I'm not in the back of the pickup with the pool sands, the bikini. So the neighbors can all breathe easy tonight. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. I'm going to send you some more cold weather. We're supposed to get 2 days of cold and rain, and we'll push it off your way. How's that?
Oh, thank you so much, brother. Minnesota is known for our summers. I mean, we are summer-loving people, but I'm telling you, it started out hateful hot back on Father's Day, and it is finally broken, but I've got no complaints. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to make you laugh a little bit before we get into the seriousness, but the first thing is, we're under 90 days, and I couldn't be any more ecstatic, happy, enthused, inspired, and honored and blessed to be living in these unique times right now in this battle like we've never seen before. As Sean Hannity said this morning, we've never seen this vile, incestuous of a media attacking someone that is literally scaring the life out of the media, out of the Rhino Republicans. It's just taking, the rails are coming off. The wheels are coming off, and we've got to fight, baby, fight. But first, we got to give some updates. And by the way, so tonight on our show, we've got Jim Fitzgerald, who is John Birch Society. He is going to come on talking about what is right in the forefront, and it was also in Trump's message last night when he said we have to bring law and order back to this country, which is absolutely what we need, but we have to support our local police departments. And so Jim is going to be talking about that. I was really honored, Eric. I met Mark Griffin, who asked me to do a speaking engagement for Jim when he came to do an engagement talking about supporting the local police department, which was my second speaking engagement here in Minneapolis. So he'll be joining us at 7:15. Then we're going to get into, we've got some international things to talk about. Putin has been up to his reindeer games. Nationally, I don't even know where to begin. The insanity. I mean, here in the wake of Louisiana, Milwaukee, there is literally, this entire country is imploding at light speed, and you got the Muzzy sympathizing pain in the rear end. I mean, that's being kind for me. In the middle of all this, you know, he's swinging the golf stick over Martha's Vineyard, and then the White House issues this very important message to all of the homeless shelters that we must be sympathetic to transgenders. But anyways, I'm sympathetic to Wilson right now. I know you're all wondering, what have I done to Wilson this time? Well, I got to the point where it was just too consuming. I mean, I'm busy enough with my day job. I'm busy enough trying to produce a really great show on Wednesday nights, and then I got this 71-year-old curmudgeon old guy. I'm trying to get him back into the dating scene. You know, I've been doing the online dating thing for him, and that is a whole new, it's scary enough that everybody goes to the internet, and if you ever go to Craigslist, it is just shocking and appalling at what people will put out there on the net. So, Eric, I gave us all a break right now because I got to refocus. And I think all of us need to refocus, because this is what I was talking about, and I'll get to this in a second, about, you know, we all gave Donald all of the support leading up to the convention. We can't back down now, but I need to focus and get everybody really pushing hard, because this is the most important election in November that we have faced yet. So what I have done right now with Wilson, everybody breathe easy. I just simply locked him up in his basement. I believe he's got TV. Possibly he has the facilities. I think he has some water to wash down the antifreeze dripped leftover stale coffee that was left to him. I think there's some Keeler down there, but at least I'd like him to focus back on. Does anybody remember that he used to have his focus on the mosque burnings? Remember he couldn't sleep very good, and then when he did finally sleep, he had nightmares and dreams that he thought that he was burning a mosque, and then only to call me and tell me that he'd started his kitchen on fire. I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, Eric, I thought 71-year-olds kind of slowed down it. What?
Dangerous sleepwalking there if he's burning his kitchen down.
Eric, don't 71-year-olds slow down a little bit at some point?
I'm not. I'm not there yet, but I ain't slowing down for nobody.
Well, none of us can slow down. None of us can slow down. I do want to say, though, I was asked the other day, Eric, I had lunch with Mark Griffin, and I was talking about the show, and like I said to you earlier, I'm really hoping we get a break with this show. I get so close with so many opportunities, people saying that they want to support it and get it on different networks or sponsorship or advertising or different things that they do. There isn't anybody that I know that have sat in her pickup truck. You know, back in the day, it was five nights a week, 3 hours, and diligently, no matter whatever happened. You know, a year ago this week, Eric, I did not have Isabella's Oilfield Services, the business that I ran in the oil field. I had not started that yet. I was actually working for Conveyable, the Scorio Trucking and Rock Company in Williston. Housing was so short and so maddening that I had actually taken an apartment in Circle, Montana, and I was driving from Circle, Montana just to get into the oil field to start my day, but relentlessly always made it home in time to do the show no matter what, whether it was home, the side of the highway, but I never failed to produce that show. And the show that I did a year ago to date, this evening, I had a 10-year-old boy from California call into the show because he was trying to run a lemonade stand, and the city had found out, and they were requiring him to get a business permit.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And if I thought that, you know, 5 years later, because I was shocked when I said to Wilson, I said, my God, I was in the oil field over 5 years. But when you're having so much fun, it flies by. And that's what I had, was a ton of fun in the oil field. And so when Mark asked me what was the difference in between here and there, and I explained, you guys all provided this network. We had over 200 and some drilling rigs, which meant, you know, 2 to 4 company men per rig, all the roughnecks, the people in town. You all, I remember you always passed out my card. Jeff Cooper, yep. I mean, Billy Whitehurst, the list was endless of you guys that were always spreading and promoting, but you were giving me the material, whether it was calling me at 8 o'clock in the morning and telling me that we were all going to die of Ebola, or calling me and telling me that ISIS had conquered and taken Canada. Yeah, that was a good day.
Yep.
But you all provided me the material, and that's why I sit here and it's like, it's different here in Minneapolis. This is a unique and different place. And, you know, I say every day, I ask the good Lord to guide me and tell me where to go, because the whole purpose and mission of this show and what all of us today on Rush, Eric. So I'm driving along, and Rush is talking about what really started the grassroots efforts. And it played into exactly why I called Sean Hannity the very first time. He said that with the realization of what Obamacare and amnesty was going to do to this country, to the destruction of the Constitution, to the, you know, the disastrous financial impact, to the restraints, to all the lawlessness that Obamacare and amnesty was going to do to this country, well, hell, that's the whole reason that I called in to Sean Hannity the very first time when I understood what that was going to do. And I never correlated to that possibly being the same combination that woke up so many other people. All I do know is that there was a large majority of us that, just like you, myself, Rick Trader, Brian Lonergan, I mean, all of these, Nick Contopassos that came on the other night, Jim Llewellyn, Raymond Bork, I can go on and on with thousands and thousands of names of people that woke up one day and said, if this country doesn't wake up and pay attention, if this incestuous, just vile, you know, mentally disturbed, mental disorder, liberal media doesn't get kicked the hell out of the way, if we don't kick these lying, incestuous establishment, if we don't get them the hell out of the way, we're done. And a lot of people used to look at me and say, that's very radical. How can you say you're done? Well, let's look down the list, because I also want to talk a little bit, Eric, about Trump's speech about getting back to law and order, because he also brought to the forefront what so many people miss with this Black Lives Matter and all of this social divide about how we're not giving them enough. No, what they don't understand is they've never been supported, represented, or understood the leg up so that they can prosper and be happy and be living the American dream. They are pushed down, shoved down, and told how miserable their life is, and the solution is the government. And if you look at where we're at right now with the fact with, you know, student loans through the ceiling, food stamp participation through the ceiling, debt ceiling, the money printing, when we look at the health care costs, the labor participation at all-time low, median income low, home ownership low, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even started to begin to even dig into the fact that we are not the superpower. ISIS has actually gained control and is further ahead than what the government officials were supposedly even telling the Muzzy sympathizing thug, even though he was supposed to be in the security briefings. But nonetheless, I have never given any credit to think that he ever did anything other than abuse his powers and enjoy his time in the big house and then run out and do as much as possible to do as little as possible, but have the backdoor meetings to do as much destruction as possible. But nonetheless, this country is in a pivotal point right now in this country. And if we don't get it right in November, everything that is taking place on a daily basis, from ISIS terrorizing, cutting the throats, killing all of the Christians and the Christian Muslims, there is no, you cannot convert. This is conquer or destroy and kill. We have got absolutely no world presence. We've now got Putin over in Iran. We've got North Korea. I mean, there isn't anything that we're going to say or do that will be taken seriously. You get here in the States, we've got more racial divide than we've ever had in this country. We have got an all-out war on our police force. And we don't have any, and then in all of the madness, when we actually have the the tragic events, like the poor people in the flooding situation in Louisiana. We've got the most, you know, this Milwaukee thing. We've got a black cop who shot a black criminal thug on, a litany of charges. And yet it's all exploding. And everything is now because they're not being given enough. And yet this is the greatest country in the world. It was the greatest country in the world. We've given what no other country gives, which is the American dream, the American spirit, the ability that as hard as you work, you reap the effort. But that is not what this country is anymore. And that's why we've got to make America great. We have got to think about our future. We have to think about the future of our children. You want this and only spiraling downward to be the future that you are handing to your children? Or do you want to have the foundation of what made this country great again restored back to this country so there is an American dream, an American spirit, America left for your country? We're up against our next break. We'll be right back with Jim Fitzgerald.
You don't find any better guys in a family team than polar builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are the GAF and Timberline certified polar builders. Upgrade your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that is Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Are looking for a straightforward conservative good old boy who can also rant about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Petilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can get Aaron at 952-856-6074. And that again is Aaron at 952-856-6074.
And we are back, Bella D'Angelo. I've got Eric Olson and bringing on here in a second, Jim Fitzgerald. I know I got a little wound there in that first segment. I usually tear it up with a little bit more humor, but the humor it can be put aside for a little bit right now. Because we absolutely, I mean, this isn't like we can withstand 8 more years and see if we get it right in 8 years. The mere fact of the demographics of this country with the massive infiltration of all of these refugees coming in, we'll never be able to beat just the Democratic voter count ever again if we don't do it right in November and start to stop some of the madness and the insanity. But we got to switch gears because I'm very honored. And Jim, just for you, I'm going to put my duct tape around my wrist and I'm going to mind my P's, Q's, T's, and I's. I'm going to behave. Mark Griffin reminded me multiple times to be very well behaved because I'm very honored to have you on this evening. Thank you, Jim Fitzgerald. And we've got to talk about how do we support our local police department? I was very honored. I met you. It was a couple months ago when I spoke before you got up and talked to your audience. How are you doing tonight, Jim?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Give a quick intro to everybody listening tonight, and then you can start to tell us how we can help support you.
Well, my background, I was a former detective on the police department in Newark, New Jersey, and I left the department to go to work full-time for the John Birch Society back in the 1960s, so I've been at this a long time. I've held a variety of different positions in the organization, in the society, and I'm currently the National Director of Field Activities in charge of all of the personnel that work outside our home office, our field coordinators, our regional field directors, and so on. And I also spend a good deal of time covering the country and lecturing on support your local police and keep them independent. And clearly that is so much needed today when we see the incredible attacks on police officers across the country. Police officers shot to death this year, a 78% increase over the same period last year, and sparked by a great deal of hatred, primarily generated by Black Lives Matter and their funding agent, George Soros. You know, Soros spends $33 million a year to fund a variety of Marxist-type organizations, not the least of which is Black Lives Matter, and they march in city streets chanting to kill policemen, and then they're invited to the White House, and the president tells them what good work they're doing. So it's kind of sad that law enforcement around the country are faced with a Justice Department that finds virtually every police department they look at as racist, which isn't true, but that's what they conclude. And then you have the White House encouraging radical leftists like Black Lives Matter to go out and so-called demonstrate, when in fact, if you just saw the incident in Milwaukee recently, where the city had a riot, the chief of police finally came out and said what nobody in the media has said for the last year, that the problem started when the Revolutionary Communist Party and Black Lives Matter, who worked together, came into Milwaukee and took a peaceful demonstration and turned it into a terrible riot, burning buildings, cars, destroying property, and injuring people. But that, sadly, is what's happened in Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, and the press never writes about it. But, you know, those of you that have good eyesight, the next time you see the Black Lives folks demonstrating, look at their signs. On the bottom of their signs is a website, revcom.us. It's the Revolutionary Communist Party of the United States. They're openly displaying it, and they're very open and do it virtually every opportunity they get. So the United States Senate reported on this 55 years ago when they issued a report titled The Communist Plot Against the Free World Police. And all of the tactics we see taking place today, the Senate reported these are communist tactics and this is what we can expect. That's 55 years ago, that report, and it's coming true virtually every day in major American cities. Very sad.
Yeah, that is. Hey, this is Eric Olson.
Go ahead, Eric.
We're in Billings, Jim, and Robert Brown was up here. You gave a talk to our group.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah, it was great, yeah.
We appreciate what you're doing. You know, one thing, we're big supporters of John Birch. I run a Tea Party here, and I'm the president of Eagle Forum. And I got a new group called Tea Party for Trump. We're forming here shortly that's going to go out and try to get the key states on our side. But the John Birch Society has been kind of blasted for years and years about being this bad organization. But if people don't understand what you guys are, you're the best knowledge base for what the Constitution of the United States is all about and what freedom's all about. And people need to wake up and smell the roses there. You know.
Well, Eric, let me point out that the people that endorse Black Lives Matter certainly don't like the John Birch Society. The people that endorse the Revolutionary Communist Party and their activities,
right,
they don't like the John Birch Society. As a matter of fact, the very first attack that ever appeared against the John Birch Society in 1961 was in the communist press. And all of the attacks that and all of the things that they said about us in that article were picked up and carried by the so-called mainline media, almost word for word in many cases. Just an amazing story. So we've withstood all of that these 50 or so years we've been around. You know, the people who join our organization, we're looking for responsible Americans who love their country. They love their constitutional system. They're patriotically motivated. Most of them have very deep religious ideals and principles, and they're really good, decent people. And those are the kind you find generally in our ranks.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about Obama and his taking the Black Lives Matter in to the White House and praising them. You know, we as a Tea Party are concerned citizens. We've always fought for the Constitution and the fiscal sanity in this country. But We never got invited to the White House. We got shunned away from that White House, which is tragic. But I just read in the news today that Obama's going to build a monument to Black Lives Matter here somewhere in D.C.
Isn't that amazing? You know, why not build one to Karl Marx or Joe Stalin or Mao Zedong? Because that's exactly, these guys are following in that footstep. And they're a vicious bunch of people, and their attacks on the police. If you look at what happened, for instance, in Dallas, where five police officers were killed, that guy was motivated by Black Lives Matter, and he said so. You know, this idea that police officers are shooting and killing unarmed black Americans, it's just absolute nonsense. See, every study by virtually any responsible agency, we just had one by a Dr. Pryor, a college professor from Harvard University, who studied 1,200 lethal deaths at the hand of the police, and he said I found no bias, no racial overtones. He said, and I was shocked because I expected to find it. He started out with preconceived ideas that the police were, in fact, doing this deliberately to some black Americans, when his study, a very thorough one, I might add, came with the absolute exact opposite conclusion. So responsible people, when they look at this, know the difference. Look, for instance, in the city of Chicago, 2,600 people have been shot this year, 400 killed. Only 9 were shot by police officers out of 2,600. And yet virtually nothing is said or done about the carnage that takes place there. And who suffers the most in this? The black citizens, the decent black citizens that have to live in these communities, surrounded by these thugs, the Black Lives Matter, the new Black Panther Party, all of these hardcore radical people have intimidated and terrorized black citizens in their own community. You take any poll in a black community in America, and the decent people will tell you, we need more police in here. But the minute they show up, the radical left moves in and demonizes the police. The press covers it and demonizes the police. The White House and Justice Department do the very same thing. So the police are now being restrained to the point where crime, particularly murder in major American cities, is going through the roof. And unless, you know, we have some responsible people in the White House and the Justice Department, this nonsense is going to continue.
Yeah, I know. The AG just came out again today. They're going to go after North Carolina because they won't adhere to that bathroom law. So that's their priority.
Look at that on the face of it. Just insane. Listen, I was a vice squad detective. I dealt with sex crimes. I can absolutely guarantee you sexual deviants are going to take advantage of that law. You can absolutely count on it.
Mm-hmm.
Some poor young girls in a girl's room or a lady's room are going to be confronted by some sexual deviant who's going to claim to be a transgender and take advantage and assault some of these young girls. I mean, it's just criminal to subject young women to that type of potential. It's just absolutely outrageous.
It is. It's just falling apart to crack. Thank God for guys like David Clark that keep talking up against all this.
Yeah, there are many good law enforcement. Yeah, David Clark's a good one. Joe Arpaio and Arizona, Sheriff Clark in Sheriff out in Indiana, Brad Rogers, another great one, and the chief of police in Detroit. He's a black chief of police, and he's advised the citizens there. If you want to do something about these criminals, get a gun. He's advising the citizens of Detroit to get armed to protect himself against the criminal element there. God bless him for doing that. But in many places, the attack on guns. It's just unbelievable that citizens would want to give up their firearms and have no protection and just have these hoodlums and thugs who were able to get guns anywhere they wanted to prey on them. It's just crazy.
And, you know, back to your statistics.
Hey, guys, we're about to hang on 1 second. We're about to come up against our next break, but I want to interject this at this point because there's two sides to this right now. So you've got the purposeful dismantling when the muzzy sympathizing thug steps forward and supposedly makes his claim about racism from the beginning of when this first started, from all these cases, when he supposedly makes his opinion without knowing the facts. He's not dumb. He's not making his stand because he doesn't know the facts and he's ignorant. This is a purposeful divide.
The United States Senate, that 55 years ago, and said the communists used those tactics. They attacked the police, called them names, and the whole purpose is to get the public to mistrust the police so that ultimately we'll say, well, our local police can't be trusted. We need an alternative. And that alternative, a national police force. And that's the drive.
Yes, exactly. Now, on the other side of this is what I've been saying for a long time is that if we all thought about this in this last year, in this most critical election in November, if this was a peaceful, quiet, and I'm not advocating any of this, I'm simply stating the facts. If we hadn't failed so miserably that ISIS is running rampant and taking over land and killing on a day-to-day basis and terrorizing, if unfortunately all this violence wasn't occurring with our police department, if all of this madness and insanity, if this was a quiet, peaceful summer, it would be very hard for Trump to be swaying people to understand the real danger that we are in. So they've created what they believed was ultimately going to conquer, divide, and keep us focused on anything other than the failure, the complete failure and destruction of the last 7.5 years of the Muzzy sympathizing thug and the predecessor, Killery, the fat he-she windbag, water buffalo in the panic suit. Jim, I'm sorry if that's a little bit too much out of the box, but that's how I talk about these lovely people because they don't even deserve it, their actual names being spoken. Here's the thing. This isn't America anymore right now, and what is supposed to be right is wrong. There is no law and order. There is no law, period. We're living in a lawless, reckless, criminal, scary time in this country, and this is not the time to sit back and wish starfish and bubbles for a woman as president. We have to get down to the core root problem, which is the insidious destruction, purposeful dismantling of this country. And right now, that is why it is very important to get people to understand and to wake up and to pay attention and to listen to what Donald J. Trump is putting forward in his speeches and his plans. Pay attention to Hillary is running against her own administration. She's running against she's been part of this whole criminal, lawless dismantling of this country. So she's running against her own record. And she's got a lot of health problems. She's not likable. There's so many things. And then at the end of the day, I'm actually kind of liking this because then we're going to take our next break. And Jim, if you want to hang with us into the next segment, it's not a bad thing that the polls are being misrepresented. The killer for Romney, one of them was, that they all predicted Romney was a sealed deal in the election. And I believe that created a lot of people to be complacent and not to get out and go and fight against Obama. But then we had voter fraud. We had a whole lot of other things. And we had a little bit safer America. So nobody was that scared. People were comfortable. And you know what? You have to become scared and uncomfortable in order for you to make a change. And not only do we have to make a change, we have to make America great again. Because if we lose it here, where else can we go? We're going to take our next break. Jim, if you stick with us, we got to fight, baby, fight. We'll be right back.
I'm here to introduce Trust Vets. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help Before hiring any local service, visit TrustVets.com. Come and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've definitely earned it.
We are back, Bella D'Angelo, Eric Olson, and we also have our guest tonight, Jim Fitzgerald, for your local police department, and also John Birch Society member. I'm also a John Bircher. Very proud to be a part of this organization, got involved when I met Mark Griffin when I was back on AM 1280, The Patriot, doing the Bella D'Angelo Show Saturdays. We've now switched our format over to Wednesday nights, but I want to thank Mark because he's put me in contact with a lot of great people, and I met Jim, like I said, when I did a speaking engagement before you got up in front of a group of people. And the thing is, we've got to get people to understand, you know, when I see policemen out about my day when I'm, you know, running around, I stop them and I thank them for what they're doing. This is tough time to be wearing that badge. And the whole point is getting people to understand what can they be doing in their community to help support their local police department.
Well, there are a number of things that people can do. The first thing I would recommend is to learn more about, you know, when we talk about support your local police and keep them independent, we're not specifying a particular police department. What we're saying is that it's a concept that the police department should remain local, under the control of local political administration and local citizens. They should be responsible to the local community and nobody else. And the minute you you bring in the federal government to oversee your police department, you've lost control. And, you know, America was based on the concept of independent local police, and it should, and we want to see it maintained and retained that way. So the first thing that people can do is to get a better understanding of that whole concept of maintaining police locally and answerable to the local community. And then I would strongly urge them to go on our website, jbs.org. That's jbs.org. And right there you'll find support your local police. Just a tremendous amount of material. There are videos or material that can be ordered that, you know, we're structuring and establishing support your local police committees throughout the United States. If you'd like to join one of them, when you're on that website, just leave your name and phone number and somebody will contact you and we'll invite you to join our committees. We just had a big night out for the police here, and all over the country, Bircher set up tables and dispensed material on support your local police to citizens. So more and more people by the thousands now have a little better understanding of the need to support their local police and to put to bed the lie that police are deliberately out attacking minorities. All the evidence shows exactly the contrary, but the press builds it up. I mean, 2,600 people in Chicago, there's not a single story about that every day in the press. But if a police officer shoots somebody, and usually it's because it's a criminal that he's after or a criminal is attacking him, then it becomes front page news in all the papers. And they always start by saying it's a black man was killed by a white police officer. They just infuse this terrible racist attitude. And now you have black citizens, some of the more activists, are now confronting police in an arbitrary fashion on almost any issue. Even a stop for a traffic violation now turns into a confrontational issue, and it shouldn't. But the lie has been spread by Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Black Lives Matter. They're getting huge sums of money from the Ford Foundation, from George Soros. So there's an incredible amount of money, and consequently they can set up operations all across the country. Some months ago, they marched in 20 American cities. And while they were marching, they were chanting to kill a cop. And they were being guarded in that march by the very police officers that they were calling people upon to kill. So listen, enough good citizens have to get involved. And the other thing they need to do is make sure that the politicians in your community don't call the federal government to come in with some consent decree over the local police department. Don't accept federal training, grants, or equipment, because with it comes federal control. And you just don't want that to happen. So in order to maintain independence in your police department, keep an arm's length from the federal government, and that's what we should do.
Absolutely. I was going to mention before the last break the statistics we talk about, and after some of these recent events, I looked up the statistics on police shootings, and it turned out that in that one study, 50% of the people killed by police are white people, 25% black, 15% Latino. So we don't even talk about that.
Well, I know. And, you know, listen, I can tell you this. Police officers don't want to use their guns. If you knew what a policeman, way back in the early days in the 60s when I was a police officer, I had to use my gun just once. I was visiting my sister who lived at the other end of the city in Newark. On the way home at night, I saw a building on fire. I stopped. I started pounding on the door thinking there may be people in there. Nobody answered. I fired, took out my gun. I shot the lock off the door. It turned out the building was empty, fortunately. But I had to write reports for 2 weeks. I mean, my squad lieutenant wanted a report. The precinct commander wanted a report. The deputy chief of detectives wanted a report. I mean, policemen don't want to go through that. It's very reluctant that they take out their firearm and use it because they know they're going to be writing reports, though, you know, virtually forever. And it's a mark against them because the press will hound you, and you know, the politicians are trying to pander to these radical leftists, and they put police under the kind of scrutiny that they wouldn't do to anybody else.
Yeah, I used to hunt with some Baltimore SWAT team members and L.A. cops. They were all friends, and you know, the stories they tell you about going into some of these tougher parts of the city, and they said they're just basically got targets on their cars when they enter a lot of those down-and-out parts of the city, and they take their life into their own hands every time they do that out there to protect the public.
You know, Sheriff Clark, when he talked about what just took place in Milwaukee, he talked about this man that was shot and killed, Smith. Smith had been arrested 13 times, serious offenses, and still he's out on the street. And that's part of the problem. The Justice Department under Loretta Lynch has sent a 9-page letter to 6,500 state and municipal courts telling them not to incarcerate minorities. Now, it's not for serious crimes she didn't mean. She doesn't mean murder or rape or robbery, but crimes that normally would require incarceration. She's telling them not to do it. And if you do it, we'll withhold federal funds. So think about a criminal knowing this. I mean, he knows if he goes out and commits a minor crime, he's not going to go to jail. I mean, what an incentive for him to continue a criminal lifestyle. I mean, the problem is we don't take these criminals and put them away the way we should. If the penalties are severe enough and we don't tolerate this nonsense, believe me, the bad guys will be put off the street, and that'll be a lesson to anybody else who decides to lead a life of crime. They're going to know there's going to be a terrible price to pay. But nobody's paying that price today. These guys are running loose when they should be incarcerated, and they should be put away for lengthy prison sentences, and sadly, they're not.
And we do have an
overcrowding. I want to jump in real quick, because you touched on this earlier. The whole, and Eric, I know you know a lot about this, so I'm going to let you and Jim talk about this. We got a couple minutes left before our next break, but tell people why this is so important to understand what a nationalized police force means to everybody.
Well, listen, there are examples to go by. You know, the very first notorious national police force was under Lenin and Stalin in Russia, called the Cheka. The Cheka was able to subjugate 150 million people. That one national police force, it murdered tens of thousands, imprisoned hundreds of thousands, and they had power that you would not believe. People were terrified to talk to their neighbors, their friends, even family members, because the terrible infliction of terror and torture by the Cheka. It subsequently became the NKVD and then the KGB and now the FSB. And the same thing in Germany under the Gestapo. You know, Germany had local police until the Gestapo and Hitler came to power, and they basically maintained local police with national control. So, in effect, they had a national police department. Look at the millions of people that went to gas chambers and were murdered and slaughtered by these thugs, these criminals. In East Germany, you had the Stasi, same thing. In Cuba, you had the secret police in Cuba terrorizing and imprisoning, torturing, and murdering people. There's a long history of the terrible damage and danger that national police forces do to citizenry. And the only people who want a national police force are those who want absolute total control of a country. In order to maintain that control, they need a national police force to make sure they can enforce their dictates and terrorize citizens into submission. So God help us if America ever gets a national police force. We have enough examples of how dangerous that is. But we are headed in that direction. The Justice Department now has over 50 cities buying into a program that they're going to train and oversee their policemen. The United Nations came out last week and encouraged the president to nationalize the police in this country. And Obama is working along with Loretta Lynch and the Justice Department to do exactly that. So, I mean, citizens, you have to tell your elected officials not to allow the federal government to come in and take control of your police force. Just don't do it, because it'll never be the same. They'll suffer terribly. And, of course, if you resist, they threaten you with court action. And they almost bankrupted Ferguson, Missouri after the riots there. The Ferguson City Council would not submit to the Justice Department's dictates and control of their police force. They were threatened with court action. Well, the city was almost bankrupt from the riots. A lengthy court action would have completely bankrupted the city, so they had to submit. In effect, it was blackmail. And that's what the Justice Department and the White House seems to be doing. And it's a terrible, terrible consequence to lose control of your local police. And so we encourage citizens, make sure you tell the elected officials not to accept any handouts from the federal government, and under no circumstances allow them to come in and train your police department.
That's so right. You know, we actually tried to pass legislation in our last session that would keep the federal government out of our state and keep them out of our gun control laws and all that stuff. But we didn't get it passed because the Democrats, you know how they are. They kind of lean towards the Obama way, the AG way. So
yeah,
we didn't get it that time, but we're going to try again this time to keep the feds out of our state.
You know, the trouble is here again, you know, here we have an election year coming up. And what is the discussion? I mean, if you talk to people on the street, the whole discussion now seems to be about the political differences between left and right, instead of the fundamental moral distinction between right and wrong. And that's where the problem is. There are certain things that are morally right and morally wrong. And for goodness sakes, why don't we make judgments based on what's right and wrong, not Democrat, Republican, or right or left? And the tragedy is that so few Americans are even thinking in that direction. I mean, it's just unbelievable that religion is under fire. Perversion is now held as something normal. I mean, the kind of thing that they're doing now. I was arresting people for the kind of activity that has now been legitimized. It's just absolutely insane, the direction of the country. Unless good Americans get a stomachful of this nonsense and start holding the politicians that they elect accountable for these things. And it's not easy to do, but you have to do it. You have to stay after your mayor, your city council, your aldermen, your county officials, your state officials, and particularly your federal officials. And I can tell you, having talked to a number of congressmen, if you want to get their attention, don't write them a letter. Don't send them an email. Pick up the phone and call them. And they all told me that. The one thing they pay attention to more than anything else is when people call the office in their district and when they call them in Washington. And if enough people call on behalf of a particular issue, my goodness, will they sit up and take notice? So we should be calling them. How about an investigation into George Soros and the Marxist thugs that he's funding, particularly Black Lives Matter? I mean, if you and I march down the street and call for the killing of black Americans, we'd be arrested, and we should be.
Oh, boy.
But here these thugs go down the street, and they call for the killing of police officers, and they're praised by the White House. And what we need is an investigation into these criminals. The federal government years ago, the Congress and the Senate, had agencies that investigated this kind of thing. A liberal Congress has abolished every one of those agencies. We need to
It's not only just the liberal. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why people feel completely defeated. Because we've got the biggest seat in the country that won't even follow through with investigation and crimes that Hillary herself shouldn't even be allowed to be running right now. I don't even think she can get security clearance. So there is reluctance and defeatism in people up until Donald J. Trump put his hat into the ring, because it didn't matter. It didn't seem to matter what we did, who we complained to, or who we tried to hold accountable, because this is what I have learned, Hannity talked about it. I think all of us that have been sitting back, the reason why Donald has so much support, because we are sick and tired. We are fed up with all of those that have campaigned on all of the key issues that we've been talking about tonight. The minute they get in office, they all jump in the Kool-Aid together, and they all run around in the country club together, smoking their cigars, drinking their drinks, and laughing at us. I used to be a George W. supporter. I used to be a Bush supporter. But what I saw this last year proved to me that this is all just one big, massive establishment that felt like they had this clear. They didn't have any fear when they saw the candidates that were going to run for the GOP nomination up until Trump. They said, it doesn't matter. We're all in this together, and we'll keep skating and getting away with it and further destroying this country and turning into the new world order. And, you know, they weren't terrified. Why do you suppose everybody is running like mad, and the only thing that they can attack Donald J. Trump on are his, what's conceived as his mean and hateful things when he steps off mission and takes a jab at somebody that throws something at him personally. But when you look at what he's doing and what he's saying, his unpolitical correctness, his he's unnerving to debate because you don't know what he's going to say, but he will pull off the gloves and guarantee. I cannot wait for September 26th to see Hillary Killery, that fat windbag pantsuit panic attack, he-she water buffalo, stand there and try and have any composure, have anything, any reason, logic, because that's a thing. She is running against the administration she's been a part of. She has no success to run on. She has nothing but the same vomit to keep spewing at us as to how she's going to bring hope and change, shovel-ready jobs, job creation, bring it back, blah, 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 blah. All of her pandering, yet Trump's going to stand back. And I don't know how many of you watched his speech last night. Eric, did, Jim, I don't know if you caught it. That is probably one of the best speeches that Donald has given to America. And if he stays on this path with his very, very even tone, his very logical, with giving the exact examples and how he's going to start to fix this country, bringing back law and order, not anybody on the left, nobody in on either side is even talking about bringing back law and order to this country and establish some security and understand that there's actually adults in charge of this country instead of all of these lawless criminals that are just running around hoping like hell we stay distracted enough that we don't see the true criminal. Hillary Killery should not even be running for president. She should be locked up. I hope like hell that when Trump gets in that we go after investigation and throw her in bars forever, because I, for one, I'd probably one female, Jim, that you have met that cannot stand Killery over any other female you've ever met. And the mere fact that I was in college delivering auto parts, listening to Rush Limbaugh when Slick Willie got his second term, we've got to lay these people to rest, because all there is a path of dead bodies when anybody gets close to standing their ground and actually standing up and witnessing and testifying against these people. The list of crimes that those two have inflicted, it's just, it's insanity. And that's why, and I'll try and breathe for a second, let Eric and Jim, because we've only got a couple more minutes left, but this is the most important election. And I can say this, Jim, I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is a state that has, it's as far liberal and bat crazy as it gets. I didn't want to come back here from the oil field. I was convinced I was never going to meet some of my redneck, blue-collar, good old boy network like I had in the oil field, but I've met them here, and I want to thank all of you, especially my listeners. But the really interesting thing is it's hard for me to meet people that support Killery. I hear more often that they're voting just to stop her. I am meeting Democrats, lifelong Democrats, that are seeing the corruption and the criminal, and they are voting for Trump. That is why I have hope. And when you have hope, you have to spread it around and hold it in your hand and invite and invigorate. and inspire those to get out and do what Jim, you do, Eric, the rest of us all do, to get one more person listening, one more person waking up, one more person paying attention, but most importantly, one more person voting, and then get them to do the same as what we do, inspire, motivate, and invigorate, and educate, because this is not the time to be walking around sleeping and saying, well, I'm gonna not vote this year. I don't like either one. I'm just going to wait. And if you're a third party, you're handing it to Hillary. And if you want the rest of the rest of this country to further fall into destruction and to fall into the purposeful dismantling of what this administration has been doing to this country, then either don't vote or go run around and put a Hillary bumper sticker on the back of your vehicle and go vote for that water buffalo, because I'm telling you, this is not the country we want to hand to our children. We got, I think, one more minute left. Jim, tell everybody where they can find you, and thank you for coming on tonight.
Yeah, again, just jbs.org on the website is the best place to get us, and on there you will find a whole variety of things. In addition to support your local police, we've taken positions on these terrible potential trade deals at TTP and TTIP. We want to get out of the United Nations. That's a program we've had for many years. We have the support of local police, of course, and all of those can be found on the John Birch Study website, which is jbs.org. And we certainly invite you to go there. There's no obligation, but I think you'll find a wealth of material about many of these issues. And if you'd like to go beyond that and leave your name and be contacted for potential membership, we certainly encourage you to do that.
Great.
Thank you very much, Tim. I got to take it from here. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Right? Thanks, Jim.
Right. Good night.
God bless. Eric, next Wednesday, it's going to be your show. I promise I won't say anything.
All right. Let me just tell everybody to check out teapartyfortrump.org. It's a new group I'm a founding member of, and we're going after the key states to get Trump elected.
Excellent. As always, thank you so much, Eric. I promise. I'll say two words next show. Is that a deal?
No. I know you never will, but keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thanks. All right. We got to take it from here. Good night. God bless. God bless America.